Goedemorgen, dames en heren. Dank u voor het wachten en welkom bij de telefonische vergadering van Heijmans Annulisten. Op dit moment staan alle deelnemers in de luisterstand en na de presentatie zal er gelegenheid zijn om vragen te stellen. Dan geef ik nu het woord aan de heer Bert van den Els. Meneer van den Els, gaat uw gang.
Thank you very much. Good morning everybody. Goedemorgen iedereen. As we will be also having some people really discussing this in English and listening in English, I'm going to do this press conference trading update in the English language. To my left, Mark van der Bigelaar is also attending the meeting, and Ton Helle is attending this meeting as well. Short summary on the results on the third quarter. As we published this morning, basically you can see that residential, our selling of houses in the Netherlands really performed very well. 1,399 houses compared to the 742 last year, so the number of homes is very good. Actually, the full year 2014 were 1,347, so actually we're already above last year. That's the big plus, as we said it. At the same time, we have to state that also our infrastructure business still is under pressure from low margin on a number of projects, and that is depressing the result overall, as you can understand. Turnover revenues, the first 9 months, a plus of 9% over the same period as last year. So in that sense, I think the company is relatively stable and performing on the revenue line okay. Our order backlog with 2.1 billion is at an adequate level, basically a little bit below the level last year, but not that big of a problem really, and that's very good. I think we see clearly an upward trend in the housing business. Having said that, basically also a downward trend on the, or a problem trend in the infrastructure business. And the last remark I would like to add to that is that we stated in our press release this morning that based on the current insights, we expect actually to operate within the agreed financial covenants with our financiers over this year, at the end of this year. I would like to leave it with that because I know from previous press releases we've done together that you always have a lot of very good questions, and we are very happy to give you all the answers we can as of today. So please, I would like to ask the first one to ask the questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dames en heren, we starten nu met de vragenronde. Om aan te geven dat u een vraag of opmerking heeft, kunt u ster 1 intoetsen. Press star 1 for question. De eerste vraag, de first question is van Philip Nogoto. Mr. Nogoto, go ahead.
Thank you, Philip Nogoto, ABN AMRO. I have three questions. To start with, the first question regarding the infra projects in which you are. You indicate in the press release that you're in discussion with clients on who's to bear the risk and additional costs. I was wondering if you could indicate what the total size is of these projects, approximately. And also you indicate that the financial consequences of these discussions is only visible at the end of the project. In the outlook that you give, have you taken into account any provision for these projects, and if so, what is the size of a possible provision? And my last question is on your net debt evolution. You indicated with the half year results that you were expecting the recalls net debt to increase by some 50 million year on year at the end of the year. Is this still the case?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Perhaps I'll start with the questions on the infrastructure business. Just to explain, as we said in the press release, around 90 million euro loss-making projects over the full year 2015. That's going to be the turnover as we expected. That's one thing. Second, of course, every and each and every individual project is having an estimated margin end of work, as we call it. So that's, of course, very important. And if necessary, there is a provision in that project. So as of today, all projects are estimated to the end of the project. As having said that, these projects are right now in the finishing stage, either the coming quarter or the beginning of next year, the first 3 to 6 months of next year. And as we always see in these big projects and smaller projects as well, actually, that especially if we have a conflict with the customer or at least a discussion with the customer who is going to pay the bill for whatever claim situation we have in a project, that that is normally then handled at the end of the project. And so that's what we state. Yes, we think that we have estimated margins in all our works according to good common practice. Having said that, of course, we don't know the result and the outcome of the discussions yet, and they can have an influence on the final margin in the project. That's what we actually say, and it can be a plus and it can be a minus, but yeah.
Are you able to give a range on how what the sizes of those possible outcomes?
Oh, that does not really make a sense. It's simply also that we feel it's helpful to give some more background on the nature, let's say, also of some of the issues in mainly in the infrastructure business. And well, what we do, what we always do, and also have done this time, that that in our outlook we try to include the what we see as the most likely scenario, including projects that will be completed this year, but also the status on projects that will not be completed this year, but will also move on in the course of next year or the next years. And then on your, I think it was your third question on the net debt development.
Yeah.
There, what we have guided as per with the half-year figures is still the case. So that means that also in the current development, we see the trend which is moving towards a net debt which is about 50 million higher than the end of last year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
The next question, the volgende vraag is van Luc van Beek. Luc van Beek, gaat u gang.
Yes, good morning. First of all, it's positive, obviously, that you indicate that you expect to be within the covenant by the end of this year, but I think the test mid-2015 will be more challenging, especially on net debt to EBITDA. So are you also comfortable with the outlook for that test, basically, also taking into account the potential pluses and minuses from the infrastructure projects that still have to be completed?
Well, I think that we take that step by step. So first, we're moving toward the end of this year with also some important projects where we have to reach important milestones in the coming months. And then the outcome of this year, both in terms of EBITDA and also in terms of cash at the end of the day, that is the starting point for next year. And that means that we take that step by step.
Okay, so it's too early to already make estimates for that. Also, on the backlog, you had a small decline. Can you indicate to what extent that's just, say, the timing of tenders and your win rate, or is it also a consequence of your new stricter tender policy to which your win rate has changed?
Basically, I think you could basically say both. First of all, unfortunately, we did not get a couple of tenders where we were very close to number one, but we were not number one, so we were second, and we really would have appreciated having won that order. Okay, we didn't have it. At the same time, due to the very strict tendering policy, you see that especially within the infrastructure, we take three or four extra steps before we really quote a project, and we should not have any risks in those projects. And that will have its influence as well, I think.
Okay, thank you. Those were my questions for now.
Yep.
The next question is from Dirk Verbiesen. Dirk Verbiesen, go ahead.
Yeah, Dirk Verbiesen, KBC. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dirk.
Question on the results. On the one hand, we see a very positive trend continuing basically in property and the resident, and following that the residential building activities in the Netherlands. On the other hand, a negative continuing development in Dutch infrastructure. But can you say something on the balance of those results in Q3? In the first half, we saw that the losses in infrastructure were larger in absolute terms than in the two profitable businesses, residential building and property. Is that still the case in Q3? And also going forward, when do you expect to reach a turning point in that, in a positive sense, that is? Second question I have is, you specifically mention the energy factory again as being challenging towards completion, basically. Why is that? And did you encounter new challenges in reaching completion there, and also with regard to potential the provisions you took last year on that project? And the guidance, for me, reading the press release with the uncertainties, and Philip asked that in the start of the call, on the claim discussions and completions of projects, but still you feel quite comfortable in stating that that the operating result will be better than the loss in or a smaller loss maybe than the loss that occurred in 2014. How can you be so certain? There must be some kind of a bandwidth where you feel comfortable with in those discussions with clients. Can you say a bit more on that?
I think, well, to start with the last one, yes, there is indeed there is a bandwidth also that you know that there can be chances in projects, and yes, we also know that all towards the year end that many of these discussions tend to a completion for one reason or the other. A lot of our customers would like to do that in the last months of the year, so that is one reason that we you say we are that certain. Well, that's just the guidance for the moment where we feel that's the most likely scenario. But clearly also there are risks. So that's on the outlook. I think on the balance between residential and infrastructure, you know, always in our business, the first quarter and the third quarter, with given the holidays or winter periods, the revenues are lower. So for the moment we do not like to comment on that specific balance, but with I think what has been stated in the press release with the words of my colleague Bert is that still the trend is about the same. So that's what we see, and that means that we towards the year end we have to work quite hard to make sure that we make some kind of a turn in the infrastructure. But there are also chances that can be done.
Okay. Coming back on the energy factory or the energy fabriek Tilburg, basically I think in our press release we mentioned two examples of projects of the group, actually the A4, which is actually a good project, but also in a very crucial phase where we, up to today, and that's what we can tell you, that it is a crucial phase. Yes, we go for completion on the 18th of December, and that's going to happen, and we feel comfortable that it's going to happen today, as we said in our press release, but still it has to be done. And the same thing is for the energy factory Tilburg. We started commissioning a couple of weeks ago, but it will be going to the end of the year and the beginning of next year before it's finished, and it's a complex energy factory where we have been discussing with you also at the end of last year, I think, when we published our 2014 results in the middle of this year. And I think that's what we can tell you about these two specific projects. Next to, for instance, some of the projects we've been finishing both in non-residential and in infrastructure.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Next question. The volgende vraag is van Joost van Beek. Meneer van Beek, gaat u gang. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Let's start with a question relating to being able to meet the financial covenants. You mentioned that on some of those larger loss-making projects, you're still in discussion with the client, and by the end of completion of the project, it's probably clear what amount needs to be paid or what extra cost you will face. So this could mean that, let's say, also a lot of cash out related to this will take place in the first quarter or the first half next year. So what's your view, or how confident are you that you can meet those financial covenants first half next year?
I miss a bit the point why you think that these things should lead to a serious cash out. If I think some of your colleagues have also noted that our half year results that in the work in process balance, that a bit the opposite is visible. So that means that that it's more important for to the extent that cash in can be expected. So I do not really think that that additional serious cash outs can be connected to this issue.
And regarding being able to meet financial covenants at the end of this year, I think the energy factory result was excluded from that. Are also other sort of non-recurrent elements excluded from that?
No, it has been excluded just only for the test moment in the mid-year. So it will not be excluded for the test moment by the end of the year. But that was also as the big effect of that project was taken in the P&L of the second half of last year. So that effect is, by nature of the calculation, already excluded for the end, towards the end of this year. And then, is the normal non-recurring items like reorganization spend, non-cash value adjustments, those kind of things are excluded. But that's also, about the same, well, exactly the same figure as we report an underlying EBIT.
Yeah, okay. Then a question relating to residential. Can you say something about margin development? I guess that is in the projects is improving given the rapid improvement of the domestic market, and also to what extent you are able to also sell land. You sell a lot of those houses to private consumers.
Mm-hmm.
What about the ability to also sell land in combination?
Yeah. Well, what you see is that when sales are improved, you also improve in your sale of land. That's one of the times. What you see is that the average price of the private buyer housing, that has increased also. And when you see at the deals at business to business, by example, you see the two housing corporation or institutional investors, is the sale price depending on the quality of the projects and the type of houses we are selling. By example, the deal of Authenticum, you can read the 250 houses that our houses are renovating, and they have a sale price of 100,000 euro per house. So there's a lot of difference, but you see an increase, that can I say.
In the average price. Yeah.
And the costs related to building these houses are increasing to a lesser extent?
Till now we see a little increase. When the demand is much more, then it will be more increased. But till now it is okay.
Yeah. And then the final question is always the typical situation. The market improves and the subcontractors start to raise prices first because they're probably the first to benefit from the higher utilization.
Mm-hmm.
In general, how are costs of subcontractors developing?
Basically, I think already Tom said, until today we don't see that much yet. At the same time, we're very aware of the fact that basically two things. That we think material prices, due to the nature, will be relatively stable. You can see it worldwide, whether it's oil or minerals or whatever. It's a very stable pricing development at the moment. But labor in Holland, due to the 4% increase, for instance, yes, there will be pressure there. That's one thing. And secondly, because there will be more demand. So, yeah, we work every day with these indexes and systems. So we work with that, and we reckon that it's going up.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
The next question is from Michel Aupers. Excuses. Michel Aupers.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. Michel Aupers, Rabobank.
Good morning, Michel.
Good morning.
I have several questions. One to kick off is regarding infrastructure. I think you looked very critical to your infrastructure portfolio mid-2015.
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible that you see a further sharp negative or an additional negative in the third quarter? What happened?
Michel. Also
because you take provisions for the projects you have in hand, taking into account that you're not able to invoice your clients for the remainder part of the project.
Yeah.
And now it seems it's not just undercoverage of general costs, but there are additional setbacks.
No, but basically what we say, Michel, is that we take a very close call and close look at each and every individual project, not only those 10 to 15, but all the projects. Having said that, we say the same as we say today to all of you. Listen, also all these projects are in a critical phase, going to the end of the project, and yes, there will be discussions with customers towards the end of the project, and that can have its influence, and that's what you can see quite clearly, and that's what we that's what we are telling to everybody.
And how big was this loss in the third quarter?
What I said to you this morning, Michel, is that it's we also reported lower revenues there in infrastructure. So yes, it's also to a certain extent that we miss some cross margin to cover the general expenses. And then yes, there was also some slight loss making in projects, but not real big things there. But you know, we're not in this update closing specific numbers on the project losses.
Okay, and when those settlements are not going to sort out in the way you think, are going to be completed in the way you think right now, do you have a plan B?
Yes, I think there's always a plan B, and the plan B is that you have to start discussions with important financial stakeholders in order to prepare for other scenarios. Dus yes, there is always a plan B. But that should be the case in either situation. Yeah.
So do you have at this moment commitments of financial institutions that you can have a waiver for your debt or additional changes on your
that we would
debt
already have that we would already have a commitment for a waiver. That would maybe be nice, but we don't have it.
No.
And can you maybe talk a little bit about all your debt, your credit lines you've currently in place? What is the redemption scheme?
Our main facility is maturing in March 2017, so by the end of March 2017. And on that facility, currently, is large, 231 million. And by March next, that facility will be 212 million, and that's because we've made an extension on that facility last year, and one bank, Van Lanschot Bankiers, as they're not active anymore in our banking segment, has not continued, so it's not really a repayment, but it's more that given the banking group, the facility will be slightly lower at that time.
So you should be in a hurry to arrange a new debt facility because in mid-2016 it will move to your short-term debt.
Yeah, but you know, on the balance sheet date, we don't, I'm not worried whether it will be presented in the short or long-term debt. By the end of last year, on the balance sheet, it was not even recognized as we were cash plus. Now it will be maybe with this recourse debt we guided. Debt will be visible, but I don't think it's really important whether it's qualified as short-term or long-term. But indeed, somewhere next year, we have to organize a refinancing, and that's something that we have to prepare quite carefully. That's true.
It's on the agenda for next year, Michel. Yeah.
And are you also considering maybe to strengthen the balance sheet, taking into account the relatively limited room versus debt covenant in the coming quarters?
Yeah, what I said, we take that step by step, and also developments in the coming months on both EBITDA and the cash side are important for our starting point 2016, and we really do that step by step.
Okay, and then something, last question, just to be clear, what part of the problematic infrastructure projects will continue into 2016?
I think what we also said after the half-year results, this year, the first half of the year, it was 15% of the revenues, the second half, 12-13%, that corresponds with the amounts that we've included in the press release.
In the infrastructure division, or is it?
No, the Dutch infrastructure.
Okay.
Dutch infrastructure. And into next year, I think it will be 7-8% of infra revenues next year. Dutch infra revenues next year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Thijs Hollesteller. Go ahead.
Yeah, morning. Thijs Hollesteller, ING.
Good morning, Thijs.
One final question. How comfortable are you about your working capital development towards the end of the year? Because we have seen pretty large moves in the past couple of years on the different line items with no real specific reasons. I assume it's normal business volatility. Mm-hmm. But how surveyable is it for you? And how, because reading the press release and listening to the conference call, you don't get your comfort from your operational income with regards to the cash flow. So, in my opinion, the liability side of the balance sheet was quite stretched. The creditors and the work in progress on the liability side of the balance sheet, which is not the best quality, but at least it generates cash for a short period of time. Are you able to do that again? I mean, is there something in the working capital line item that gives you comfort on the year-end net debt position?
Yeah, well, I think it's a fair question, because we've always reported that swings can be huge. Yeah? So indeed, we have guided about 50 million below last year, but it's also sure that we cannot estimate that that precisely, but that's roughly the direction, and also the direction where we see that we're moving on to. But there are some uncertainties there. Also we believe things that we can manage, and we get, I think, some comfort from the fact that on the property side, there you can more plan and see certain transactions, and that's some part of the comfort that we are having internally. And also, of course, on the overall balance of the bigger projects, we're quite close to that, and that also gives us some guidance towards the end of the year.
Yep. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, for question and answer queue, please press star 1. Star 1, question and answer. Mr. van der Els, there are no further questions. Please continue.
Okay, thank you very much for all your questions. I hope we've been answering the questions. Certainly we're going to meet somewhere in the coming 3 to 4 months again. And thank you for attending this conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Heijmans Analysten conference call. You may now disconnect your line. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.